Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 21. Matthew 24, verse 21, which reads, and this is Jesus talking, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be, nor shall ever be." Great tribulation. Are you looking forward to that? Of course not. But it's going to come. It's going to come. Some would say we're in a tribulation period right now, according to what's going on in the world. And that would seem very possible. Very possible indeed. For those who thought they knew Christ have rejected him completely. And those who do know Christ are a little bit skittish. If you get what I mean. So pray. Pray that God will strengthen us. That God will give us wisdom. And that God will stand behind us all the way. And I'm sure he will. I'm sure he will. The name I've given my message is "The Blind Refuse to See." The blind refuse to see. You know, it's good to be a Christian, amen? It's good to be saved, amen? Well, the whole point is, you can't have one without the other. Oh, if you're a Christian, you must be saved. And if you're saved, you must be a Christian. You'll get a lot of arguments over that. Some people call themselves Christians because of their denomination, not fully aware that it's not a denomination that makes one a Christian. It's your relationship with the Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. That's where Christianity emanates from Christ alone. Christ alone. Well, the proof is in the heavens. The proof is in the heavens. John 14:6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." But by me. By Jesus. John 14:6 tells us that the only way we can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And if we use Jesus Christ to get to heaven, we have to become, in Christ, a Christian. Right? Yeah, right. Amen. Amen. So the only way to become a Christian is to have Christ in you. Right? Of course. Christ in you. It's like being a Canadian or an American or any other nationality. We have to be part of the body. Makes sense, doesn't it? Of course. Amen to that. And since we have to believe in Christ, that he was crucified, died, and was buried, and rose again from the dead to save us from our sins, well, we likewise must believe in the country we are a part of and trust and abide in the laws of that country if we are to be a part of that country, that body, right? Of course it's right. So, the King James Bible, which we believe to be the true word of Almighty God, it's like a lease agreement. A little tongue tie in there. We trust in this agreement in order to be accepted by the owner of the lease. Who's the owner of the lease? Jesus Christ, of course. The only difference is if we break that lease, then the lease was invalid from the start. Have you got that? You can't break the lease if you are truly a Christian, because you won't. When the Spirit moves in and takes up residence in you, you are a Christian. And you can't break that lease. If you do, then you weren't a Christian to believe with. But when our lease is in heaven and Jesus is the landlord, well, there ain't no way you can break that lease. No way. There ain't no other way you can get kicked out of that glory land. No way. No way. It's not a lease for life. It's a lease for the afterlife, too. Wow, isn't that wonderful? And if you believe you can get kicked out of your lease on salvation, then you had better check who the landlord really is. You get me? It's just right. It just might be the landlord of this world. If you dare to continue your lease with him, well, I can guarantee you the rent will not only skyrocket, it will suddenly go south. And I don't mean South America. I'm talking about a much warmer place, a much warmer place. Sir, you have been hoodwinked by the greatest hoodwinker of all times. Crafty. And I ain't going to give him the pleasure of hearing his name mentioned in the house of the Lord. Oh. You know, there's lots of information you can absorb right now if you just turn to Matthew 23 and 24. You should read them over. You get a chance. Okay, for time's sake, I won't read them right now, but I would urge you, that's Matthew 23 and 24. Now, what's Jesus warning us about? Well, he's warning us about false Christs. False Christs and false prophets. There's never been a time in the history of mankind when there have been so many false Christs and false prophets permeating the pulpits of our land. Never, never in our time. Verse 23 says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not." This is Jesus talking. He's warning you. Christ is not there. Don't fall for it. No. There's a saying going around, rather, ever since 9/11. Not all Muslims are terrorists, but all terrorists are Muslims. No, not all Muslims are terrorists. Perhaps not. Well, you see, there are so many different types. So many different types. They don't all agree, but one thing they do agree on is their eschatology. That part of theology concerned with death, judgment, and destiny. Like Canadians, French and English, Newfoundland or Blue Noser, prairie dogs and Rocky Mountain High and Low, we're all subject to the laws of the Lord. Yes, we are. Did you know that there is a Jesus in their Quran as well, in the Muslim Quran? Oh, yes. And guess what? It's the same Jesus that we love and pray to in our King James Bible. It's the same Christian Jesus, our beloved Savior. Oh, yes. Yes, they believe in our Jesus, but they put him to an open shame. They put him to an open shame. Do you? I pray not. You see, they don't believe Jesus is deity. They don't believe he's God incarnate, or that he died on the cross for our sins. They believe that when Jesus was crucified, that their Allah came and rescued him just before he died. Now, imagine that. So he didn't die then, huh? He didn't go to the tomb. Uh-huh. They said he was rescued from the cross and then was translated into heaven. Just like Elijah, Enoch, and Muhammad were translated, they say. Well, Muslims do not consider Jesus as Savior, but simply another prophet, Now, because it was Allah who rescued Jesus, the teachings of Muhammad make it clear that Jesus will return. Not as a savior, but instead, a radical Muslim, a terrorist. Oh, he will return to a mosque in Damascus, and when he descends, he will be holding onto the wings of two angels, with everyone watching. Great beads of sweat will drip from his face. Not great drops of blood like in the garden when he prayed for the Father's will. Well, no. Their eschatology goes on to say Jesus will be a faithful Muslim, not a Jew anymore. Wow. But he will be indoctrinated by the Mahdi, the Antichrist. Oh, rough words. Rough words indeed. Islam says that the same Jesus will be the false prophet to the Antichrist. My. In Revelation 13, 1 and 2, we are introduced to the Antichrist. In verse 11, we are introduced to the false prophet. I would urge you to read Revelation 13. And you will get a clear picture for yourself. Ever wondered where the Antichrist and the false prophet originated from? Huh? Well, although we can't be sure, it would seem reasonable to believe that the Antichrist would emanate from Islam, and the false prophet also, and bearing the name of Jesus. This is all quite possible. And since the name Jesus is a name used freely in certain parts of the world, why must we doubt? All we know for sure is that Jesus, the Christ, our Lord and Savior, is not, and I underline the word not, is not the false prophet. No, siree. He's Jesus Christ, our Savior. I don't know if you know this or not, but Islam's chief goal is to rid the world of all Christians and install full Islamic rule. Oh, yes. They make that very clear. It's not something conjured up, but it's made clear by the people themselves. Islamic teaching also tells us about three things Jesus, their Jesus now, will do when he returns. Three things. Firstly, he will break the cross. He will break the cross and everything else with a cross on it. Is that why they're taking down the crosses today across the land? He will also destroy anything that resembles a cross. You know, Satan fears the cross. Yes, he does. He fears it. Because it's his defeat, the crosses. Secondly, their Jesus will go about killing all swine, that is, any non-Muslims. Just as the real Jesus Christ withdrew the legion of devils from the man of the tombs and sent them into the swine, so will all Muslims be considered swine. Oh, and likewise destroyed, as the Antichrist tries to emulate the Lord Jesus. Tries indeed, yes. Thirdly, there will be given a chance to convert to Muslim. 666. Or else be killed. Be killed. Tidbit. Here's a tidbit for you. Did you know that Muslims are exempt from America's health care tax plan? Yep. They get free health care. Free. I'm sure there's a lot of Christians out there would love to have free health care as well. Islam also predicts that after 7 years of end times, the tribulation period, their Jesus, will live 40 years, marry, have kids, and then die. Yes, they believe this. They do. And in Matthew 24:26, the Word of God tells us that when we are told that Jesus is in the desert, don't believe it. Don't believe it. The word Islam means to submit. To submit. Remember the Tower of Babel? Babel? Some call it Babel. Babel, of course, is Babylon. And Babylon is modern-day Rome. Food for thought. One gave birth to the other. The people of Babel, or Babel, wanted to free themselves from God's dominion over them. They wanted their own brand of religion. Thus there was Bel, B-E-L, which transformed into Baal, B-A-A-L. Baal worship was inspired by Satan in the year 620 A.D. Subsequently, through a religious system given by a madman by the name of Muhammad, and thus this new religion was to be called Islam, which means to submit. To submit. Muslim means I am submitted. I am submitted. For 1400 years they ravaged the Middle East in the name of Islam until World War I, and the Allies became a stumbling block to them. You know what began in the Old Testament with Babylon? Well, ironically, it will end up in the New Testament, as it has, with Babylon, the old and the new. What Satan began, he will finish. He will finish. Now, according to Revelation 17, well, the Antichrist will head up a nation called Babylon. Verse 7 tells us in chapter 13, yes, chapter 13, verse 7, listen carefully, and it was given unto him, the beast, to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And look at verse 8, chapter 13. Verse 8, chapter 13, if you would. And all that dwell upon the earth. And all that dwell upon the earth. This, of course, is after the rapture. After the saints of God are taken out, taken home. Who are still dwelling upon the earth, shall worship him. Worship who? The Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Interesting note there, you know. When you get saved, and it's really salvation I'm talking about, then your name is written down in the book of life of the Lamb, slain for the foundation of the world. See, and that name can never be erased. Not if you are truly saved. Because if you are truly saved, it will not be in there. It just got erased before it made it. I know a little bit of play on words there, but you know what I'm talking about. Now, doesn't that just explain completely what God meant when he said he would send a strong delusion? A strong delusion after the snatching away, the rapture? That they can get saved or will get saved? So for all you people who think you can still get saved after the rapture, even though you turned your back on Christ before the rapture, sorry. You will believe Scripture tells us you will believe a lie as God's strong delusion, which he will send upon you, takes control. Don't for a moment think that since you see that the rapture really did happen, that you can all change your mind and then believe it and get saved also. No. It won't happen, folks. It won't happen. It will not happen for you. No way, no way. The blind refuse to see. Oh, that's the title of my message. The blind refuse to see. Do you refuse to see? Do you? Or hear, perhaps? Or believe? Do you? Do you see that the goal of Islam is to rule the whole world? And they're doing it in rapid time, by the looks of things. If Islam had its way, all of mankind will submit to the faith of Islam. All others who intervene, well, they will be destroyed. Destroyed. In order to fill that goal, well, Islam will use every power at their disposal in any way they wish to initiate this global revolution. This is what jihad is all about. That's what it's all about, folks. Has that old devil blinded us to Islam's ideals? Are we falling for it? You know, they're not a peaceful neighbor. You won't want them around if you're a Christian, especially. And it wouldn't be good to have next door, would it? Nor the dark-eyed kid sitting next to you in school. What's on his mind? You see, Islam has bred them as children to hate all Jews and all Christians. And everyone not of the Muslim faith. This is their mandate. This is their agenda. You must understand that. Thousands of mosques are being built right now all over the world. And not to beautify the landscape, but to dominate it and to conquer it. Wow. According to Islamic tradition, the Mahdi will lead a worldwide Islamic revolution, just as Nimrod led the first revolution against God. Micah 5, verse 6. Islam is sending people to North America by the hordes, and not to be our friends, but to propagate their religion. If you don't believe this, I'm afraid you, sir, you, madam, are blind. You see, the blind refuse to see. Islam spawned from Catholicism. It did. From what I understand, visitors to Israel are not allowed to visit the Temple Mount anymore. It's now owned, at least for the time being, by the Palestinians. Now, ain't that a shame? Ain't that a crying shame indeed? Oh, my. I want to go back briefly before we close. I want to go back to Matthew 24 and read verses 21 to 26. If you'd bear with me, please. 21 to 26. For then shall great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except these days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. And verse 26. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. The blind refuse to see. Tell me this. How is it with you people? Do you just simply refuse to see what the Word of God is saying? That the Word of God is reaching out to you? That Jesus Christ is your greatest ally? And the only way you can ever have eternal life in heaven. You see, there's only one heaven. There's only one eternity to be shared. And that's where it's at. In the presence of Jesus Christ. Are you sure about your destination? Or are you just hoping? It can be sure, you know. I'd ask that you do so right now. You don't even have to get on your knees. Just look into your heart and talk to God and tell Him that you repent and you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be sincere, because He knows if you're not. That's all there is to it. I pray that you will make that decision today. If you're sincere, you will never be sorry. Never, because you cannot. I repeat, you cannot lose your salvation. I want to thank you for listening in today, and I pray you'll tune in again next week for another important message from the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.